ShopRite at McDonald Avenue in Brooklyn at Avenue I is a place to go for all of your shopping needs and Passover favorites. Your price plus card saves you more every day all year long. ShopRite at McDonald Avenue is open daily for your convenience. A happy and joyous Passover from ShopRite at McDonald Avenue and Avenue I in Brooklyn.
Did you know that in the infrastructure bill passed by Congress, there's a provision for every home to have internet access? The government is giving away the latest brand new Android tablets with 15 gigabytes of data a month for the next 5 years. Yeshiva students can qualify regardless of financial status if you receive a free breakfast or lunch or have a Pell Grant. Families receiving federal assistance of any kind or if you lost your job also can qualify. Call 866-MAX-SIP-1 to get your free tablet. Again, that's 866-MAX-SIP-1, the number one, to get your free tablet. There is a one-time copay of $11. Call right now, 866-MAX-SIP-1, or online at maxsipconnects.com. That's maxsipconnects.com. Get your free tablet. Call 1-866-MAX-SIP-1 right now.
With Pesach upon us, spring into savings. You'll love what you save on. Everything you need for Pesach and spring at Borough Park Certified Lumber and Home Centers at two great locations in Borough Park and Williamsburg. Light up your Yom Tov with savings throughout the entire store. Check out their other LED light bulbs and fixtures to brighten the holiday. Whatever you need for Pesach and all year round, including plastic corrugated countertops, you name it, they have it. For indoors and outdoors, get it all at Borough Park Certified Lumber and Home Centers at 4601 New Utrecht Avenue. Borough Park Certified Lumber and Home Centers always beats the competition throughout the year. No gimmicks, but real savings. Their prices are lower than Lowe's and more Hamish than Home Depot. More information, including shipping nationwide, call them at 718-853-3100 or 718-387-1233. That's 718-853-3100 or 718-387-1233. Wishing Kol Yisrael a Zis in Pesach for Borough Park Certified Lumber. They will be closed for Pesach, including Kol HaMoed.
Also open at 148 Klassen Avenue in Williamsburg and at 1533 Prospect Street in Lakewood, New Jersey.
What are we gonna do? Shall we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been there?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, saving kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles. If you know somebody that wants a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, please give them our number, 718-758-0400. I will repeat the number again. Maybe somebody needs a Zoom meeting for parenting, anonymous. You can call, describe the situation, and we will be happy to connect you to the right program. Again, our confidential number is 718-758-0400. Tonight, I'm really, really happy to have on with us somebody that comes on quite frequently, and everybody enjoys having her on. She is also facilitating a Mask parent group, and that is Dr. Debbie Ackerman. Welcome. How are you, Dr. Debbie?
Hi, Rahama. As always, it's a pleasure and an honor to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
So thank you. And Dr. Ackerman, you are a licensed clinical social worker with years and years of experience in private practice. You also specialize in addiction recovery, trauma, marriage, and family work. In addition, you teach at Ortsweiler, and you run one of the MASC parent Zoom groups. I really wanted to talk about the Zoom groups, how beneficial they are, and how much nachas you are getting just by seeing how the parents are moving along and getting the help that they need for their loved ones.
Okay. First of all, let me take this opportunity. This is Ruchama's 25th Jubilee anniversary year, and I would like to join masses and masses of people in wishing you a tremendous congratulations and mazel tov and an unbelievable achievement. 25 years when people weren't even talking about mental health in the religious community, a very pioneering, very important work. And from what I understand, over 115,000 families helped during that time. It's really, truly incredible. And you should really, Hashem, should just give you tremendous more strength to keep it going. We need you. And it's an honor to be associated with the organization. The groups are...
Thank you, Dr. Debbie. I just want to give a shout out to my staff. This is not a one-man band. It is really only with the help of the MASC staff are we able to do and offer the services that we do. So thank you. Amen.
You're welcome. Thank you. So I have to say, I've been doing these groups with you now. I think we're on our second year. And they are something to behold. They really are. People come in and they are really very desperate, truly, truly desperate. And they come into the MASC rooms. The support that they get is exemplary. We are talking about individuals that have children who have had tremendous mental health issues, addiction issues, legal issues, something else that is so stigmatized and so difficult to talk about. And we are an anonymous group, meaning nobody ever talks about it outside of our group. And people really just come and bond together and learn. As Ruchama always says, if you change the music, you change the dance. They learn a new way of thinking and a new way of being. But I think most importantly, and which is with group, they learn a new way that they are not alone. They're not alone. And that is one of the most important things that anybody can learn in this situation, because the isolation and the loneliness for many people is probably the worst part, to not be able to talk to anybody, to share what is going on with you. And these groups really do provide that for individuals.
And not always can a parent get their loved one, their child, their spouse help, because if they're under 18 years old, if they're over 18 years old, let's speak about that as well.
If they're under 18 years old or over 18 years old, is that what, that's the question?
Yeah, okay. Yes. Sometimes parents with children over 18, they're
correct.
Really...
Correct.
They can't do anything about it, only getting themselves the help.
That, correct. So when a person is over 18, the way the law of our country is structured, they have the right of what we call self-determination and autonomy. And unless there is something that is immediately dangerous to themselves or someone else, you cannot force anybody into treatment. Working in addiction, we have a saying in addiction that says, nothing changes if nothing changes. So even if the parents change, if the child doesn't want to change, and this doesn't apply just to addiction, this applies to all mental health processes. If the parents themselves come to group and access help and change, the family dynamic is going to change. You need one person in that system to start to create a change, and then the entire system will be changed. And that's been shown over and over. So we do get a lot of people in the rooms who, in the MASC groups, who say, you know, my child doesn't want to get help, and they're 20 and 25 and 30. You know what? That's fine. You learn new tools. You learn new songs. You learn a new dance step, and things are going to change in your home. And we see it. We just see people moving through the process, and we see how they come to the other side.
Thank you. So let's talk about what you see is different about the children and the teens of today versus years ago when we were brought up.
So I don't know about you, but I spent my summers just like riding my bike without a helmet. And and my parents were Holocaust survivors. I never even understood this, like, let me go without asking where I was going to go. And I put like 10 miles on that bike every day. I took a dollar in my little basket, and that brought me a bagel, a Coke, 2 chocolate candy bars, and some hard candy. And I just took off for the day. Meaning, it really was an unbelievably simpler time. It was unbelievably simpler in terms of what we have materially, unbelievably simpler in what we have in terms of technology. We had one TV. You know, we were like, lucky. Okay, we had one TV that had, I think, 7 channels. That was it. Today, kids are completely inundated from the time they are young in school. So many schools are using tablets and things to help the children learn. And they're really flooded. A lot of noise in their brain all day. A lot of messages, digging, social media, the pressure for a child who is growing and developing to become something that they think social media wants them to be is really very complicated for them. And I think that we need to recognize that this is here, it's here to stay. And instead of fighting it, we have to learn how to work with our children and our teenagers with it in the healthiest way that we can.
And what would you like to say to parents about that?
I think that you start the conversation really young. Kids know that there are computers out there. They know that there are smartphones. You know, any 5-year-old can work a smartphone better than a lot of adults. They know what it is. So I think the conversation and the dialogue has to start really from a very young age, that it's a great thing. It's a wonderful tool. But like anything else in life, you can't do it without a mother and a father. There are things on there that could maybe potentially hurt. I always like to put everything under the rubric of safety, depending on the age of the child and age appropriate. But to kind of just let it be known that, yes, it's in the house. We do use it. But like anything else, we use it with limits. I very much like the idea when the Wi-Fi or the internet gets shut off at a certain point of night, right? Everybody goes to bed. The cell phone goes to bed. I like very much the idea of parents being able to monitor or filter certain things for their kids. And I think with safety features like that, and we can't be afraid of that, to talk about it, to talk to the children really from the time they hit elementary school about what this device is, how it can be helpful, and how also it could be something that we really, you know, certain elements of it that we don't want. The dialogue is key. The earlier you start it, you know, Rahama, many times on our group, right, we hear parents whose children are 15, 16, 17, and they're already kind of in the throes of the negatives of the phone. And you know, we always think to ourselves like, okay, you're addressing it now, which is great. You had to do this 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. We'll get to where you need to be. But how much easier had you done it right when they were younger? Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. And parents are scared to talk to their children when they're very young. But we much rather that you do start to speak and have these open, honest conversations then be faced with more troubles
right
later on.
But, you know, we want to shield our children, all of us. But I think we have to recognize that the children are part of our life and they're going to hear and see things that we don't want them to. They could have a Zadie or a Bubby or an alter Zadie or Bubby that passes away. We want to shield them from that. We can't. So we have to explain the toughest concept to them in the world, how people die and what happens. And we have to make it age appropriate. We have to explain to the children there are things in the world that are pleasant and wonderful, and there are things that can be harmful. And if you keep that going from the time they're very young, the discussions will just build upon themselves. And so I think it really is important to start this as young as you can.
So what do you want to say to the parents that, you know, they're on the fence? They don't know that they want to join a parent support group, or maybe they don't want to take off their mask and have the camera open, you know, that everyone will see them. What do you say to those parents?
I say 4 very important words. Do not do this alone, or don't do this alone. It makes the task and the journey so much harder, and that loneliness will breed anxiety and sadness and depression and anger in the parent. And then that's going to filter down to the rest of the family, to the child or children that's impacted, to the marriage, to the other children in the family. Being alone in something is the worst thing. Coming into the group, putting that camera on, looking at this room full of really lovely, educated, funny, phenomenal people, it's really empowering. Because you look around, you're like, well, it's not just me. It's empowering, and it's what we call normalizing. These are the issues that we are contending with individually, as a community, and as a society. And the more groups you join, more groups of masks you come onto, and the more help that you get, the more you understand that you really are not alone. And with that, you can exact change. The more people that come out and get together, the more we can talk to schools, to Rabbanim, to communities, to camps. And that is how change is happening. We have to have a voice. And you cannot have a voice if you're not represented.
Thank you. We have with us Dr. Debbie Ackman, private clinician, teacher at Wurzweiler, and mask group facilitator. If you're interested in joining one of the parent groups, Sunday night is Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld. Monday night is Dr. Debbie Ackman. Tuesday night, Dr. Trish Atia. Wednesday night, Rabbi Dr. Ben-Zion Twersky. Anyone interested in joining, feel free to give us a call, 718-758-0400. You know, Dr. Ackman, I really want to take this conversation a little bit further along to the right. We're all on the way. We're on the way into Yontif. And there are lots of people that struggle with anxiety, depression, and the holiday of Passover, Pesach, is about not only clean your house, but it's also about 8 days of so many meals,
right?
So family gatherings, wonderful conversations. But for some people, it can be a lonely time. They may be alone. They may have a loss in their family, you know, as a result of COVID or illness. And so many people around holidays in general suffer from some extra anxiety. So what are we talking about here? Let's talk about first those that suffer with anxiety and depression and how it will affect them around the holiday.
Okay, so this is a great topic, and holiday time, especially Pesach, is really, I think, the most anxiety producing, right? In the fall, we have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, but and it's a lot all at once. But Pesach, for some reason, because of everything that has to be different, the kitchen, the dishes, the food, it's just you start from scratch every year. If people do have anxiety, it may kick up at this time of year simply because your routine is very changed. And phenomenons like depression and anxiety, OCD, are all going to become exacerbated. They're going to become more when we change our schedule because there are more variables. Change is happening and the brain has to accommodate for that. The second thing that tends to happen is we're sleeping less. We're not eating well. And this also is going to affect our mood terribly. Our sleep hygiene is off. We're grabbing a cookie or a candy bar. You know, we'll finish the kid's bowl of noodles. Like, we're really not taking care of us. And very quickly, that's going to start to show. I think it's really important to do kind of what social workers do. And you start with the bio. You must take care of your own self. Take a walk. Cut up fruits and vegetables. Take a nap. Get some sleep. And with that, you're starting to put into the chag what I want to call meaning. Take the menu, slash it in half. Take the expectation, slash it by 80%. Look at what you can infuse in terms of meaning. Half the food, time to sit with the kids and read. Half the food, an ability to play a game with them in the afternoon. Half the food, an ability to sit with your husband and have a conversation. We need to rework the expectation. And the more we can rework the expectation and create meaning, I think the better the holiday is going to be and the easier it's going to be to manage the anxiety.
Very important tips. Yeah. You know, I know we speak about this a lot in the group. you make suggestions to parents that do have family members that have, whether it's OCD, bipolar, whether they have, you know, any mental illness at all. You're always saying about self-care. Let's talk about self-care.
So I love self-care. It's a great topic. We love it. And I really do practice what I preach. And self-care is kind of comparing yourself to an automobile or a train or a boat. And if you don't put oil or gas or windshield wiper fluid or air in the tires of that car, it's not going to go, right? If you start out on your journey, you have an eighth of a tank and you're like putting along, you know what's going to happen? You're going to just stop on the highway. And you know how I know that? Because one time I did fill up my car with gas. I actually paid the guy $50. I don't know, something happened. It didn't take. I have no idea what happened. I got up on the highway. I start going. My car just literally stops in the middle of the highway. I'm like, wow, this is not good. That is an analogy to what is going to happen if we do not put into ourselves what we need. First and foremost, you have to take care of you. You have to be a person. You have to be a mensch. You have to be shalom within yourself. You have to work on your sleep hygiene. You have to do something for yourself every day that is for you. And I'm not talking about money. Most of the things that we can do for self-care, blessedly, thank God, are free. Long hot shower, soak in a bath, light some candles, go walk outside. Nature has been known always to have a very calming, meditative effect on someone's psyche. Get up 10 minutes earlier in the morning, make a hot drink, sit by yourself. Journal, do a guided meditation. These are things that are going to set the tone for your day. And it's not just me. These are things that research-based show us that activities like this set our minds for the day to be calmer, to be more focused, just to have an overall better feeling for the day. And we want to incorporate those, and they're free. The majority of things that we're talking about cost no money. And it's an avoda, and it's really saying I have to put myself first in this way, not to be selfish. Selfish hurts people. Self-care always benefits people. And I think if we switch that mindset, we can start to do it happily.
Well, it's like on the airplane, they always say put a mask on yourself before you put it on your children.
And that doesn't seem logical because we love our children so much. But it is logical because if we don't put the mask on ourselves first, we're going to pass out and the child's going to pass out and then nobody gets helped. So it is a concept that doesn't seem to follow a linear pattern, but it's the right one.
Dr. Ackerman, on Passover, there's 4 cups of wine, you know, the first night and then the second night, a repeat, another 4 cups. Let's talk about the importance of having grape juice available to families that maybe somebody is going to be visiting that has an addiction issue with alcohol. Maybe they're on some medication that doesn't interact well. I'd like to really touch on that, please.
Yeah. So a lot of people that have addictive disorders tend to be very secretive about it, or if they're in recovery because of the stigma, not everybody knows. It's always a very good idea to have a choice and have grape juice. It's always the best idea to give the children the grape juice so they don't start with the wine. Children should not be consuming 4 cups of wine 2 nights in a row for a variety of reasons. And also it's a sensitivity issue. You don't know who is coming to your table, who's on an antidepressant and anti-anxiety and anti-OCD medicine and antipsychotic. And they don't need to tell you that. It just is a respect. It's a respect for people who are coming to you, for family members. They're not obligated to tell you. That's their private business. But as people, as a nation who prides itself on extra layers of sensitivity, I think it really is important at every meal that there's going to be kiddush, that we put out a nice big bottle of grape juice. And if somebody says, you know, I'll have grape juice, please, no problem. And no questions and no pressure. Really? You know, it's a great bottle of wine. I bought it. It's lovely. Taste it. No, that's a boundary. I would like grape juice, please. My pleasure. Here it is. No scene, no drama, no looks, no eye rolls. Here is grape juice for whoever wants.
No second questions.
Not even a first question. Sure? Yes, no. Right. No second, no first question. You would like grape juice? Here you go. My pleasure.
Pass That's the it. Grape juice.
Pass the grape juice. Exactly. Here you are. Very normal. Normalized. That's what we're going for.
Right. Very important. And I do want you to discuss about why it's so important that the young children, even bar mitzvah age, you know, under bar mitzvah age, why offering them that alcohol is a problem. I mean, me and you know, we deal with this all the time, every day, how many kids started on alcohol long right. before their bar mitzvahs, just right. from the refrigerator door. Right. One of my clients was sharing with me that her son, they only drink water in the house, but every week, a leftover wine on the refrigerator door, what, you know, was empty. And they kept blaming other people in the household. And it right. ends up their 11-year-old became an alcoholic.
Yeah.
So can you just talk about how young they are today?
Yeah, well, so this is a very loaded question. I'm going to try to do it justice in the time that we have left. People can become addicted to really anything at any point. And people that have addiction, it is a kind of complicated relationship between the predisposition and what happens to them in life, the nature and the nurture. It's a perfect combination, a perfect union between nature and nurture. The point being is that, A, physiologically, children should not be downing alcohol. Their brains are developing. It is not good for their brains. Over Purim, we talked in the group about binge drinking. Binge drinking is really much less drinking than people think. It's 5 drinks or less for women in 2 hours, and 4 drinks or less for 5 drinks or less for men in 2 hours, and 4 drinks or less for women in 2 hours. You know, a child who weighs that much less, it's got to be less. And they're going to try to sneak the rest of the wine and take it. Oh, they maybe like the feeling. I'm funny. I'm woozy. Thing, you know, they think it's really. And then they start to have this association and they want it more. And before you know it, you definitely can have a child who's 12, 13. I have seen many, many children, teenagers, 13, 14, 15, who have really alcoholism. And that will lead to, if there is an addiction, other substances, greater substances, and you have really opened up a pretty deep and dark rabbit hole. So it is really best to have the grape juice, that's it. We love you.
Well, thank you. Very important message that everyone should realize that having alcohol around anyone under the age of 21,
right.
please, it's got to be locked up.
Absolutely.
Right. Dr. Ackman, so what is the message you want to give all those moms and dads that are getting ready and pulling down their dishes and their pots and doing all their shopping? What is your one last thought for them before you end it?
Well, aside from if you need help, get it and call MASK immediately. My last thought is create meaning and not things. Cut everything into a really reasonable amount and go into the end of truly with a sense of freedom, and a freedom that you're not bound to creating and producing so many things, but you're free to create meaning and memory with your family. And that's what I wish everybody for Yontif.
Thank you, and to you as well.
And thank
and,
you.
And I want to thank you again for the wonderful group that you do every week.
Thank
and,
you.
And the Crown Heights group that right. you facilitate on Sunday nights as well. So, thank you.
So I'm really hoping to have many, many more years with you, Rahama, as you continue to plow ahead and help many more families who, it is unfortunate that we need you, but it is very fortunate that we have MASK and you as an incredible resource in our community. And the knowledge and the hope that MASK and you are spreading is really just incredible. And please, if you can donate, I know that Rahama not only listens to everybody's problems, but she also runs the finances, which is a humongous undertaking. So any tzedakah or meister money that you have, this is a really big cause that I hope everybody supports.
Thank you, Dr. Ackman. And I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And for now, always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually hug tight. Tonight's show is in memory of Rivka Bas Yisrael. Thank you, and have a good night.